All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our NFL podcast for Thursday, November 10th. I'm Doug Norrie, that is
James Davis.
And we are going to break down some of our cash game value plays for Week 10 in the NFL, FanDuel, and DraftKings. We're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, or DFSR.com for short. You head over, grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system, powered by Lineup Lab. That's going to spit out optimal lineups using our projections for both FanDuel and DraftKings. And that subscription includes NBA as well. So it's NFL and NBA all with the same subscription package. I don't think you're going to really find a better deal in the rest of the industry. And as we always say, if you want proof in the pudding, head over to our chat room that's going 24/7 on the site and just say, hey, I'm going to sign up for the free trial. Is it worth it? And that's basically the only sales pitch that we need. So all you need to know, you go over there. How'd I do with that, bud? Pretty good?
Yeah, you did pretty well. You can also just go to dfsr.com/membership and you can hear our sales pitch if you find the sales pitch from the chat unsatisfactory.
You're always touting yourself because you wrote that sales pitch. I understand why you did that, though. It makes sense. We're going to talk about Week 10 in the NFL. We released our value play article yesterday. And, my initial reaction to this week when I looked at it was, oof, this is tough. Whereas last week, I think last week we had updated the system and we had run through all the numbers. And, we kind of just go back and forth about who we want to write up. And the list crystallized pretty quickly last week. It was like, these three quarterbacks, these four running backs, blah, blah, blah. And we were kind of done. This week didn't feel the same to me. Did you get the same sense of like sort of just question marky status?
I think this week has good top end value, but I think that it's not as deep as some weeks. So, for me, that normally means I won't put in as many big tournament lineups. But I do think there's a cash game lineup kind of taking shape right now.
Yeah, and we'll get to that theme. You'll see the theme as we kind of roll through some of these picks. So let's start with quarterback. In the old sort of copy paste category where we're now three or four weeks into Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers tops the quarterback list again. He's seen the price climb up to 9,000, which is, 400 and higher than Matt Ryan, 700 higher than Brady. How close are we getting to the Rodgers salary sort of peak? I mean, you can top out. Like, you're not going to play Rodgers for 12,000, let's say. So, where do we see the Aaron Rodgers price climb? When are we getting diminishing returns on the climb in price? And then, is this still the safest guy?
Isn't he cheaper than he was last week? I think we played him for 9,200 last week.
Did we really? I'll go back and look. Anyway, still seems expensive.
Maybe it was 8,700. Yeah. It's all the same ballpark. I mean, we've seen quarterbacks kind of top out in the 9,300-9,400 range in the past and still maintain value. But Rodgers is definitely cresting up to the point where he won't be sort of matchup proof, right? Like, when we talk about daily fantasy value, we're frequently, every time, comparing just price to actual production. And there are prices to where you eliminate high end upside, for instance. Even the best quarterbacks, if they were 10,000, for instance, really just wouldn't provide you with the kind of upside you need to win big tournaments. But oftentimes expensive quarterbacks are there because they have such a high floor. Now, earlier in Rodgers' season, he wasn't really providing that high floor that you'd normally be accustomed to seeing with a guy in this price range. But recently, especially with all the injuries there, the volume has gone up. His completion percentage has gone up because actually his fellows out there have been running shorter routes. So I think that we're right now in about fair range for Rodgers, where we'll play him in good matchups, but probably not so much in tougher matchups.
Yeah, my bad. You were right. He was 9,100 last week. That's crazy that he was a huge chalk play and he was good and the price dropped. So,
well, that's the indication again that like this is like about as high as quarterbacks generally are priced, unless they're just destroying everyone.
Right. Like you're getting Tom Brady throwing for 5 touchdowns a game. But so, okay. So take that back about the price climb, but coming off a week, he was 57-ish, high 50s, let's say percentage on FanDuel. I think around that same range on DraftKings in terms of ownership. And he goes out and has a good game. And now he's gifted with another great matchup against Tennessee, who's really, I'm pretty sure, has been pretty totally blitzed by the passes here. Yeah, they're 27th.
Yeah, bottom 5 team.
Yeah, 27th against the pass in DVOA this season. I just can't imagine. I mean, he, like I said, high 50s in terms of ownership last week. I suspect we see that or even maybe a little higher, mostly because the other quarterbacks. So like last week, you kind of look at him and he had a good matchup. And then you said, okay, well, Breeze also is a good matchup against San Fran, right? And you're like, okay, well, you can make a decent case for that. I'm not sure we see the same exact, we see another guy in that same tier. So for me, it's kind of Rodgers as the clear one cash game play, and then these next couple guys I would say are probably 1A sort of territory.
That's right. I mean, if you're fading Rodgers, you should have a really specific reason for doing so. I don't think getting separation away from him in a cash game makes any sense because, you know, when you fade the high money guys that everyone's going to play, you better be damn sure your high money guys are going to outcompete them. And I just don't know that there is another option like that this week.
And just if this is your first time listening to us or reading us, I mean, one of the reasons we really value Rodgers specifically in DFS is because his ability to run. I mean, the Packers rely so much on their pass game. It's basically their whole offense is him dropping back to pass, scrambling around, and either finding like one of those routes, having things break off, and he finds a guy running a secondary route, or he takes off and runs. And the rushing upside for him is really as good as almost any other quarterback in the NFL. So that just provides you with such a high floor. For those that have listened to the podcast and read us a lot, I know that you've heard that ad nauseum from us, and I'm sure it's just like, we get it, Rodgers runs, blah, 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 enough. But I mean, this is more for those first-time listeners just to say that it provides you such a floor when that is part of your makeup. And just not every quarterback does it. So anyway, that's just the other reason we've been going so heavy on Rodgers. This is probably our fourth week of playing him in a row, and continues to work out. After him, you know, the list gets a little iffy. One guy, we actually wrote up Tom Brady. Tell me that he's playing Seattle. Walk me through the thought process on playing a guy like Brady against a defense like the Seahawks.
Okay, so this is actually what I was referencing earlier, where guys' prices can get to a point where you can consider them even in tough matchups. Brady, you know, just on a strict points per game basis, has been pretty comparable to even Rodgers' really hot streak here. His four games a season, 29, 27, 18, and 30 fantasy points, is just the best average on a points per game basis of any quarterback. Now, of course, Seattle has this reputation of being an extremely tough matchup, and that's why I think Brady's price is still down in the low 8,000s as opposed to up near Rodgers. It was a little higher last week. But Seattle really has not been nearly the defense they've been in the past. Like in the past, they've been kind of the slam dunk best defense in terms of preventing both passing yards and just total offense overall. This season, it's been much closer, so they're still a top 10 defense in terms of overall passing yards allowed, but they've actually allowed just a strictly league average yards per attempt of around 7. And from my perspective, they've also played a very favorable schedule against the passers they have faced. And now, this isn't a plus matchup or anything like that, so I don't want to oversell things necessarily, but Vegas sees the Pats is still having the second highest implied total of the week at 28.25, and it just seems like an absolutely reasonable gamble, especially if people are going to be scared off based on the Seahawks name recognition.
Yeah, and I think it's funny about Brady, and you know, you mentioned the second highest total. You get a guy like Brady, let's say on FanDuel at 8,300, and then you get a guy like, because the team with the highest total, the projected total is the Cardinals against San Fran. And you get a guy like Carson Palmer at 7,900. What's the case for playing Brady over Palmer in this case, I guess I would say?
I mean, he's only 400 more, and he's played four games. His third best of those four games is better than any of Palmer's other good games. So,
by the way,
that would be the case.
I clearly agree with you. I'm just saying I'm sort of starting to channel some of the reader listener question, right? Because
And Palmer has a much better matchup, right? Like San Francisco on paper is a much better matchup, and just in reality as well as on paper. we laugh about how just saying things on paper is just like kind of the dopiest way. It looks good on paper, which is to say what? That it just looks good. because how else are you looking at it? I think Palmer, he's fine play. I mean, definitely a fine upside play. It helps that, you know, David Johnson can help him out. You know, there's some synergy there if they work together. But, Brady's just 400 more. So, and he's just way better. And, yeah, it's worse matchup. But I think we fall in the camp of letting Vegas evaluate the matchup because they're better at it than we are. And I think that's coming from a place of honesty. And if they like Brady that much better, or if Brady is simply better and New England's going to score as many points as Arizona is going to score, then we suspect Brady will be better. That's pretty much it.
I tend to think, I mean, I was surprised by the Patriots total. And so if I feel like I'm surprised, not like I'm saying I'm better, but I would just spend a lot of time looking at this stuff. And I just think that it'll throw people off to think that, like, because there's still an idea. And like you said, they're still a good defense, but they're just not. They're not the tippy top of the mountain defense that Seattle was anymore, and so but after years and years of success like that, you can firmly plant it in your. This happened with the Ravens forever, right? Like the Ravens, people just evaluated the Ravens as being this awesome defense. for years after they were, right? Based on like the sort of like that early 2000s dominance that they had. There's something to that with Seattle, I think. Again, they're still very good, but they're just not, you know, light years better than most of their teams like they have.
Well, sure.
In the past.
And when you hear a league average yards per attempt this season, and then you hear, so here's their schedule. So Miami, then at the Rams, San Francisco, at the Jets, Atlanta, at Arizona, at New Orleans, Buffalo. So there's some decent passing teams there, like, you know, Atlanta, New Orleans, but by and large, they're facing teams that just simply aren't any good at passing the ball at all. I mean, just starting the season with Miami, LA, and San Francisco is going to put you ahead of the curve. So the fact that they've rounded out as simply league average on a yards per attempt basis is actually a red flag for me. And I think that's where Vegas sees this high total from. And if you're like betting these games and you're like, ha, Seattle's allowed 17 points a game, they think the Pats are going to put up 28. This is a trap, and you just bet against it. I think you're asking for a bruise in there. So, I really like Brady here in a high upside fashion. There's no reason to play him over Rodgers, I don't think. But, I think the upside's there.
Well, it'll be really interesting this week because – and we spent a lot of time on quarterbacks. But you get guys like Brady in that same price range with guys like the aforementioned Palmer, a guy like Philip Rivers. And then, I mean, those are the two that I see sort of like in that same sort of plus matchup category. And I think people might default to those other guys because of the matchup. But so I think you even get separation on Brady for a tournament for that reason, just because he'll just go under own. Like we have Brady at more than almost 2 points more than the guy like Rivers, and, you know, a point and a half more than Palmer. So, and I just don't think many people will evaluate it the same way. So the last guy we had on the list, and actually he ends up playing on Thursday, so it's Thursday value more than anything, and this will come out this morning, so I'm not going to spend too much time on this, was Flacco against the Browns. The Browns have been so bad against the pass this year, and Flacco is one of those guys. We don't tend to play we don't overplay Thursday players unless like it's a really just choice matchup, but this actually is one that is in that category for a guy like Flacco, because the Browns just rank dead last in the league against the pass. So if you're playing Thursday night lineups, Flacco is definitely a guy that you can play.
Yeah, he's cheap, 7,500. Right. Maybe you don't get the separation you'd normally like if you were part of the main slate. But yeah, Cleveland allowing more than 30 points per game to opposing offenses, most yards per game, they are stone cold terrible.
Yeah, and he's only 6,200 on DraftKings. I actually like him even more on DraftKings for that price, because you can load up on the guys that we're going to talk about next, which is where the value really jumps to the top here, is at running back. So the first running back we have is David Johnson. David Johnson for our system is just a guy. It's not, you know, we hesitate to say things like must play or whatever, because that can be, you can over evaluate that kind of sort of just terminology on a week to week basis. That being said, Johnson for me is sort of like where Ezekiel Elliott was last week against the Browns, where we're not going to have any cash games without him. Walk us through the process on a guy like David Johnson and why he's just showing up in every optimal lineup now, and if a guy at 9,400 on FanDuel and 8,400 on DraftKings is showing up now, that will not change from now till Sunday.
Sure. Well, so Johnson and the guy we'll get to next, Le'Veon Bell, they're in this weird position this week where they're all at once the most expensive and the highest points per dollar guy at the running back position. Yep. And when that kind of thing happens, then our projection system just starts forcing you to take it because it's just really hard to invest $9,400 salary for 2.54 points per dollar on FanDuel there. So what it's seeing with Johnson is the combination of his absurdly high volume recently, including, you know, nearing 10 receptions a game, you know, mid-20s to touching 30 carries against Seattle. So the opportunity through the roof. He's used in all facets of the game, whether they're ahead or behind. And the fact that San Francisco, we said Cleveland was the worst defense in the league. Actually, on a yards per game basis this season and points per game basis, San Francisco has been the worst. So, and that includes their, you know, one random blowout they had in the beginning of the season. So, yeah, this is a dream matchup. It's a big price tag, but it's exactly the type of payoff you're looking for in a sport where, you know, you can frequently get punts at other positions. So, I love Johnson.
To clarify, Cleveland dead last in the league against the pass, San Fran dead last in the league against the run. So,
there you go.
And for Johnson, I mean, it isn't like San Francisco's any great shakes against the pass either. But a guy like Johnson, like you said, is just using every single way that they would ever employ it. So even if they were to fall behind, you really wouldn't worry because of how they use him in the passing game. And I can't imagine they fall too far behind in this game, if at all. So he, to me, feels like the chalk. I was surprised by percentages of people that didn't play Elliott last week in a great matchup against the Browns with heavy favorite. And the other thing that goes along with this is, when we talked about this before too, running backs are really in great situations in games with big spreads going in for the team. So just because the game script's going to favor them being ahead and wanting to get out, sort of just get out, run the clock down, they're up early and it's over. You know, the Cardinals this year or this week are 13.5-point favorites. That's the biggest spread I can remember for the last couple weeks. I don't remember the last time that we had something in this range of blowout territory for going into a game. You know, whoever knows how it's going to play out. So that really does help Johnson's case as well.
Yeah, and I think the reason people won't play Johnson, or some people won't, is you can hear already all of our recommendations have been the most expensive guys, sure. And that's not usually the direction we like to go. I mean, running back in particular is a position where, for cash game purposes, you can frequently pay down and still get tons and tons of value. So it's unusual for us to want to go double expensive or even take the highest overall running back, but it's just kind of been the way it's shaken out recently, especially with some mid-range wide receivers that, you know, the price hasn't caught up on yet. So we'll get to the value plays soon if you're sitting there being like your pen and your paper and you're like, okay, so far I have all the most expensive guys. this lineup's looking good so far, but
it is going to be hard to keep fit on this trend. It's going to hard to be fit under the salary cap. Yep. Okay. So after him, we have Le'Veon Bell. So Bell is like actually a guy that I do not think. So I think Johnson will be a pretty chalky play because there are, even with the price, there is just so much other context that really helps his case. Bell, I do not think will be the same. I just don't think Bell falls in the same category of people's perception of this matchup too. But walk us through Bell, especially coming off a week where he was just, I mean, bad against Baltimore. Why can we go back to the Bell well? Oh, that rhymed.
Bell well. Yeah. So we can go back to the old Bell well there because for a couple of reasons. So first of all, Roethlisberger didn't look right last week. No. And that's not to say that he's going to look right this week necessarily, but the combination of Roethlisberger being the first week back from an injury, which we've discussed is typically his worst possible situation, and Baltimore's defense. I mean, the Ravens have allowed just 3.4 yards per attempt on the ground this season. That's the third lowest number in the league. So just really about as bad a matchup as you can hope for. And so while we're going into this game with Dallas and, you know, at least on a yards per game basis, they've been quite good. I mean, ranking fourth overall in terms of actual yards per game, their yards per attempt have actually been a lot more sort of middle of the road. At 4.2 yards per attempt, that actually puts them at 19th overall in the NFL. So a lot of what's hurt running backs against Dallas this season has actually been game script as much as it's been their actual ability to defend against the run. And I think that bodes pretty well for Bell. I mean, the fact of the matter is, still 9 targets again last week with Roethlisberger coming back. From just a strict opportunity perspective, last week was a dramatic outlier. You know, he had 31 touches against New England in the game prior to that. So I think that we'll see him rise back to prominence. And kind of like I mentioned with Brady earlier, Dallas is still not a good matchup by any means, but Bell is just a $9,000 player. And getting him at a 10% discount in a matchup that shouldn't reduce his overall output by 10% means that he's going to show up in our system in all formats.
You know, it's so funny too, because if you look down at Dallas's schedule, so you hit it right on the head. The game script, if Dallas plays at a slow pace, they get up early, they play at a slower pace, and that's just a death knell for running backs, opposing running backs. But if you look down their schedule at who they played, like the running backs they played this year, they haven't played a running back yet. They played Rashad Jennings, Mac Jones, whoever was running for the Bears in week 3, whoever's running for the Niners in week 4, Cincinnati, they have no one. Green Bay has not run the ball all year. Philly doesn't know who the running back is. And Cleveland, they haven't played one guy like that we've even really discussed as a running back from our team against another team, if that makes sense. So like there, I would suspect if we were adjusting that for opponent, Dallas looks like the fact that like that's a great point about you said, like, you know, their yards per attempt. If you're just not getting the attempts, it's going to make your overall rushing yards look bad. But they just haven't played a guy yet. And so I don't know if we can even properly evaluate the run defense based on that.
And again, the game script is such an important factor for running backs. And when you're just down, like, so Cleveland's down 35, they lose 35-10 last week.
Right.
They're not just going to, like, hand it off to Isaiah Crowell and just let him try to run rampant, right? Like, so I think that it's a good spot. And again, it's a spot where you're going to get some separation if you're not comfortable with that for cash game purposes. I guess I sort of get it, but the Steelers are favored in this game. You know, Vegas sees the Cowboys on some level as sort of a paper tiger, and it's not, you know, I think they're still a reasonably good team, but they're just not this slam dunk, you know, definite number one seed, like on the level of the Patriots or anything like that. They've had some close wins against a lot of bad teams, and I think that at the very least, Bell will see his full opportunity and be an excellent play.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And I think we're also going to get massive separation on Bell. People are going to look at the matchup. People are going to look at his last week that was really bad against Baltimore. And that is going to be almost enough to talk you out of him, I think. And
I think that's right for casual players. But you think people that actually have like a calculator?
I'm done trying to figure this out because I've been wrong about this so many times where I think I understand sort of the concepts behind what goes into doing these things. And the football projections for us have been successful this year. So I'm just willing to, or and last year too. So I'm just willing to continue with our process and just really not try to, at this point, try to totally figure out what other people are doing. Sure. Because it's clear to me week to week where I'm like, you didn't play so-and-so or everyone played so-and-so. And we're wrong about guys, you know, at times where we just kind of miss. There have been weeks where we've taken, you know, swings and misses. But for the most part, I think we're hitting on all of the factors correctly into what evaluates this guy. And I just feel like, even people that understand this stuff are going to look at, like, you know, the next guy we have on the list is Jay Ajayi. So I think people will look at him for slightly cheaper than Bell. And again, this is a good matchup and say, I'd rather just play him. So walk me through his situation.
Yeah, so it's funny. It's almost an exact analog to the situation with Carson Palmer and Tom Brady, where you have one guy in Ajayi whose price is actually on the rise. So not exactly with Carson Palmer, but whose price is on the rise and is frankly just an excellent play. I don't mind Ajayi at all.
No.
I just call him Ajayi, by the way. You call him Ajayi. I feel like it's a tomato-tomato thing. Hopefully he's not listening and feeling offended.
I just have trouble with the consonants and the way they get put together. I practice this off air for sure. So anyway, keep going.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a palindrome. Yeah. You know, it's just it's a weird name. But, I mean, Ajayi's been phenomenal, right? Like he's 33, 28, and 21 fantasy points in his last three games, including a not-so-great matchup with the Jets last time around. This is a great spot for him against San Diego. I mean, just for a frame of reference, you know, we still do have Ajayi scoring 18 fantasy points in this game. And really the question is going to be like, how much do you weight the absolutely huge performances, right, where he was touching high 20s in terms of total opportunity and cresting over 200 yards. Like, if that's really who he is, then he's going to be better than Le'Veon Bell. He's just going to be a better football player than Le'Veon Bell. Mm-hmm. But if he's more like just a normal human being, like, or at least an excellent running back but not the best of all time, he's just going to have to come back down to earth a little bit. And while it's a good matchup with San Diego, if you're not ready to pencil him in as just being simply better than Le'Veon Bell, I don't think you need to force it with him there.
All right, let's move on to wide receivers. This is where we had a little more trouble, I think, just discerning value. Because, we did not want to write up all the most expensive guys, although the first guy we're going to give is a very expensive guy. But I think that we would agree that at least as of right now, it appears as if wide receiver is the place where we're probably going to want to save a little bit. Though we did write up Antonio Brown to start. If you were having to choose maybe between paying up for a guy like Le'Veon Bell or paying up for a guy like Antonio Brown, with the assumption that we can't do both, who do you see as like sort of more of a safe bet this week?
Well, so this is going to be ultimately the question a lot of people have to ask themselves, and it's actually a pretty good case study for how DFS works in general. So I think for me, I mean, I still like Antonio Brown this week for sure, but the big difference between him and a guy like Bell is that Brown is still priced, you know, up in where he's normally priced. So, you know, he's maybe a couple hundred dollars cheaper than where you could normally get him, whereas Bell is like a full 900, and that might wind up being the deal breaker for me. Dallas also been pretty reasonable against the pass this year too. So while I like Brown, I have the combined concern of him being a little bit more expensive and frankly just not being totally sure what's going on with Roethlisberger's knee leads me to believe that Bell is a bit safer this week.
Yeah, the thing with Brown that I like, especially on DraftKings, is he gets he's 600 more less than Julio Jones, and he's a little bit less than Mike Evans. And this is a guy that was like up in the $10,000 range only a few weeks ago. And now the first half last week against Baltimore was really, really bad. But he still finished with 11 targets. This is after getting one target in the first half. He still finished the game with 11 targets and, you know, 80 something yards and a touchdown. I think we're so many weeks away from like a more normal Roethlisberger. So like we're probably about 4 weeks away at this point from that. If we get like a slightly healthier Roethlisberger, I think we are getting a discount. I'm with you that I probably would lean toward Bell a little bit more than Brown, but I think we are getting massive discounts on Antonio Brown at this point.
Yeah, I don't mind him. Like, let's be clear. It's just, it's rare that there are three expensive guys who I like more than Antonio Brown. That doesn't happen to me very frequently, but I think this is just one of those situations.
Okay, after him, so we're going to need to start saving here because now we have done the old pay, you know, get all the talk about all the most expensive guys. Let's talk about some of the value receivers we wrote up. Where can we go a little bit cheaper to maybe keep a higher floor?
Yeah, I think a slam dunk value receiver this week is Stephon Diggs. You joked that he had the worst possible 13 reception game that you can have last week, where he had just
wasn't really a joke. He just really did have it.
Yeah, well, you joked, and it was accurate. It's some of the best jokes, Doug, are where you're observing, finding truth in the things around you, and sharing that with others. So why I personally resonated with that joke. but I do think Diggs actually probably ran bad in terms of just overall yards per catch last week because they were throwing bubble screens and just short routes that a guy with his athleticism can frequently just break off for much longer runs, and so he didn't, which I get. But I think that is we were on the wrong side of variance there last week, and while I don't think you can count on him necessarily, we were on the right side of variance on the 13 overall receptions. What you're seeing with him is just an absurd target share. I mean, 24% back-to-back weeks, that's about as high as you'll see possibly in the NFL. And with the Vikings being such a one-dimensional offense, with their running game being kind of suspect, I think we'll just see more of it this week. And he's still so cheap, 6,700.
And I don't think you're going to see Josh Norman shadow him this week because they will
move
him around.
No, the reports have come out and said that he will not.
Yep. Okay, right. Okay, so that means something in cases like this, right? Like Washington does have an elite cornerback, like shutdown corner, but if he's not just going to cover him the entire time, then you're not as really worried about that situation. After Diggs, is there, can we look into the Green Bay wide receiver situation? Is there someone else cheap? Because we're going to need some cheap value here at wide receiver this week, I think.
Yeah, so another guy we wrote up was Tyrell Williams. Two of his last 3 weeks have just been excellent. And again, on a points per dollar basis. He had 7 for 140 against the Falcons, and then last week he had a 6 for 65 and a touchdown against the Titans, and those are just excellent games for a guy who's 5,900 on FanDuel and 5,700 on DraftKings. He gets Miami this week, and Miami's just no good. They're generally lousy, and when you can get a guy that cheap in a situation where it's starting to look like Tyrell Williams is target share is pretty locked in, I think he's a very reasonable value that could give you a nice high floor for getting to pay up at the positions we've already mentioned.
And the game against Denver where he had one catch for 4 yards, he actually took some of that game off because of an injury, so he came out for an undisclosed injury and then came back in, which was already a bad matchup. So you kind of think that he possibly was just even playing hurt in that game. You feel better about it because he comes back with the game against Tennessee last week, so I'm not concerned by whatever sort of outlier performance happened in Denver, I don't think at all. It's always a little worrisome with the Chargers. They do have some other guys that Rivers will look to, guys like Benjamin, guys like Gates. So it's not like a Diggs situation where it's like, okay, the Vikings just have Diggs, right, and then they have some other losers that sometimes run routes. Rivers doesn't operate that way. He's a very good quarterback that will make other receivers sort of relevant in the passing game. That's the only thing that worries me about Williams, but that's built into his price at this point, like 57.
Well, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Like you're starting to get pretty greedy if you want all very clear cut number one wide receivers at less than 7,000. So
right.
Getting Williams at less than 6,000 when he's like a fairly clear level two-ish receiver is still a great value. I mean, I think you could normally you're going to have to pay mid sixes for a guy like Williams, in which case you don't play him. But especially, and I think this is another good just overarching DFS concept, the times when you want to pay cheap are when you have really elite payoff options elsewhere. And the fact that you've got David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell as two of the top, let's see here, I think they're two of the top just straight overall points per dollar guys, which is just insane. So Bell is number one and Johnson is number four on the list. When you have payoff options like that at the high end, then you're just going to want to, even if you have to hedge a little bit in terms of safety, just go a little bit cheaper. And Williams allows you to do that.
Let's go to tight end. We've been in the sort of go cheap at tight end camp a lot of times this year, just because there are seem to be this revolving door, at least on FanDuel, of guys like in this 4,500 to 5,500 range that we'll see, 6 to 7, 8 targets a game. And that's kind of good enough, and you're just kind of hoping you get lucky for a red zone look or, maybe a 20-yard pass here and there to sort of boost the floor. But for the most part, we've been sort of rolling on the idea that tight ends is just not a place you can pay up for. This week, though, we did write up an expensive guy in Jordan Reed. Is it okay to play a guy like Reed maybe over another wide receiver in his general price range this week?
Yeah, I think that the big question I guess you're going to wind up having at tight end this week is, do you want to go cheap for Lance Kendricks, or do you want to go high upside and get one of the more expensive guys? Now, our projection system would have you believe that the best value on the high end is at running back and quarterback. And so if you believe it, then you should do that for your cash games. But if you do want to go expensive at tight end, I do think given all the incredible value elsewhere, you will get some pretty significant separation. So I'll talk about the case for Kendricks in a second. But just to break down Jordan Reed and Rob Gronkowski this week, because I wound up writing up Reed. Reed jumped back in. He played every snap last week at 13 targets, 9 catches and 99 yards and a touchdown. And that's like wide receiver level one or wide receiver one-ish production. And tight ends, I think, are just always mispriced on these sites for some reason. So Reed just 7,000 on FanDuel, 6,200 on DraftKings. If his profile was at the wide receiver position, I think we'd be locking him in there. So I like him quite a bit, even against a tough Minnesota team this week.
Yeah, and then give me the case on Kendricks, because he's a guy that falls on the opposite end of the spectrum. He's super cheap. He's basically a punt play at this point.
Oh, he's a full punt, and I think that he's the best kind of punt, which is to say the punt that we already have proof of concept on. So Kendricks, I'm just pulling up the stats here. So back-to-back weeks with 7 receptions. His snaps are absolutely locked in. The Rams really like him as both a pass catcher and a blocker, and the target share for him. So he goes 15% target share against Detroit, 14% against the Giants, and then 22% against Carolina. He's a nice big red zone target. He hasn't turned that into tons of touchdowns so far, and that's mostly just because the Rams are so bad at scoring touchdowns.
Right.
But what you're getting from a guy like him is just pretty much safety, right? You know, at a $4,500 price tag, it's really hard for him to just crush your lineup. And if he's going to get you low double digits points, that's just all you really need to pay up and get some really huge payoffs elsewhere. So I'll probably wind up playing Kendricks, frankly, just in all formats at the tight end position this week.
Yeah, I can see a case too. I mean, it's going right now where it's actually for DraftKings having you go double tight end with Reed. This is according to our system, Reed and Kendricks. You get Kendricks for $3,000.
Yeah,
and
I don't
then
mind
it. You get Reed at 62, and that's just a lot of. That's just a lot of target share to get for 9,200 total. So sometimes it can look a little weird to jam in two tight ends into a lineup. But like you said, sometimes these tight ends are just mispriced. Like a wide receiver with Kendrick's target share would never be 3,000, right? Like there'd be no chance. So it's like almost like something gets a little funky when they just have the tight end label next to them. All right.
Yeah, tight ends are more erratic in general. I mean, I think it's fair to view tight ends in general with suspicion, but I think in the case of Kendricks, we have enough going for us. And again, the combination of great payoffs elsewhere, that it feels like an easy one.
All right, we're from dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Go over to DFSR.com/membership, and you can get a free 3-day trial to our projection system that is powered by Lineup Lab, which gives you optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, NFL, and that also includes NBA in the same subscription package. We will be back again tomorrow going through a full game-by-game breakdown of every game on the DFS slate. Have fun if you're choosing to watch the Ravens and the Browns tonight. Have a good time with that, and we'll be back again tomorrow to talk about every game on the slate. Buddy, talk to you then.
Bye.